titled this, The Great Reset. Yeah, I know, right? But here is the question. How must I live in the world to come? Matthew 19, verses 16 through to 20 and verse 16. We'll read together. Starting in Matthew 19, verse 16. Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother also. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I've kept all of these. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this word, he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be hard for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astounded and said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible." Then Peter said in reply, "Look, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my name's sake will receive 100-fold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to the manager, 'Call the laborers and call them and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first and the first will be last." The Lord will add a reading to the blessing and hearing of his word this morning. So Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell your belongings and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard that command, he went away grieving because he had many possessions. The parable of the rich young ruler is not about the rich not being able to enter the kingdom of God because they are rich. Newsflash. It's not because of that. The parable is about trusting God and that salvation is received as a gift from God in response to a person's faith in Him. A mental and theological reset has to be performed by the disciples, as they were typical Jews who believed that riches were evidence of God's blessing. This belief was based on the promises that God gave to Israel if they obeyed or disobeyed Him when they moved into the promised land God was giving to them via the faithfulness of their father Abraham. Deuteronomy 26:28. So just as one trains a dog to do what is pleasing with the reward and withholding of treats, God taught the Hebrews how to follow Him, please Him, and be faithful to Him through rewards and punishments. Material riches, though, are not a guarantee that God is pleased with man. Most of the time, riches are and can be a barrier to a saving relationship with God. Why? Because riches can come to possess you. Just like Gollum in The Lord of the Rings, the ring becomes my precious and possesses him. The rich young ruler went away grieving because he had many possessions of great wealth. Was he really grieving because of his great wealth? Or because of the hold his wealth and possessions had on him? Jesus challenges the young ruler to sell his possessions because he knew the ruler's heart was covetous of things. Or the more technical term, stuff. Stuff was his God. The young ruler goes away grieved because he cannot reset. He cannot or will not let go of his stuff. The truth teaching of Jesus is revealed in this parable, that one cannot love and serve two masters. Matthew 6:24, no one can be a slave of two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves of God and money. Truth. It is okay to have the things money can buy, provided we do not lose the things that money cannot buy. Truth. If God and the things of God are losing the priority in our lives, we are losing the way. It is good to possess wealth if that wealth does not possess me. Abraham and Job were men of great wealth, yet they were even greater men of faith. Am I a great person of faith? In Jesus' life and teaching, he tried to show people that the inner spiritual blessings are far more important and valuable than material gains. So what is most important to me? The king and the kingdom, or worldly wealth? Do we need to perform a reset of our thinking and heart? The Apostle Paul, who gave everything up, being well off, to follow Christ, says this, as a result of following Jesus. 1 Timothy 6:6-10. But godliness with contentment is a great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation, a trap, and many foolish and harmful desires, which plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and by craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. If the pursuit of wealth and possessions is going to cause me or has caused you to wander from a relationship with God, with His kingdom, as well as on earth, we need to stop and reset. We need to leave it behind, give it away, put it to God's use and purposes, repurposing his blessings for his purposes. We need to follow Christ and love him supremely. That's what this passage is all about. Loving Christ and loving him supremely above all things. Well, what is the disciples' response to Jesus' teaching? Interesting thing about Jesus calling of his disciples. Jesus calls them to do what? He calls them to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. Matthew 16:24. Matter of fact, Jesus tells everyone who would come after him is to deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow him. He said the same thing to the young rich ruler. If you want to be perfect, follow me, the perfect one, take action, sell what you possess, give that money to those who are in need, and you will have made an investment in heaven, and come follow me. Matthew 19:21. Peter questions the logic of Jesus' teaching and command. The mental reset Jesus is causing with his teaching is hard. It is hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of God, whom we thought, because of their material blessings, were a shoe-in. Then who can be saved, Peter says. The disciples have given up everything they have had and owned to follow Jesus. They have denied possessions, left family, wives, children behind, and will soon bear the cross of suffering in swearing allegiance to follow Christ. And Peter says what? Look, we have left everything and followed you, so what will there be for us? Peter is essentially saying, what is in it for me? We have left everything to follow you. Possessions and material wealth has been the understood reward for a life lived well after God and his commands. That's the understanding. If that no longer is a true indicator, what does my future hold for my sacrifice in following you, Jesus? What is my future? What's the retirement plan? Isn't that our question? Isn't it? Is following you, Jesus, worth it? What's in it for me? And Jesus' response to Peter is kingdom, rule, and authority. Kingdom, rule, and authority. Matthew 19:28, Jesus said to them, I assure you, in the Messianic age, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he promises them what? Kingdom, rule, and authority. This is a specific promise to the 12, but there is also a common promise of grace to everyone who would follow Christ. Matthew 19:29. And everyone who has left houses, brothers or sisters, fathers or mothers, children or fields, because of my name, will receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. 100 times more. You want to make a great return on an investment? Invest in following Jesus. Where would you receive 100 times return or more on an investment? This also includes a forever life clause. Is it out there? No. One would be foolish to leave the treasure in the field and not sell everything to possess it, to receive it. Is the way of Christ a sacrifice or an investment that you may not receive all the dividends in this life? Right? Is the way of Christ a sacrifice or an investment? We know with an investment, you may not receive the dividends for a while. And Jesus says, you may not receive the dividends even in this life, but you will receive them in the life to come. Am I serving Christ because of what I can get or because of my love for him because of his love for me? Jesus tells the parable of the laborers in the vineyard to show the graciousness of God and what reward there is in trusting him. The laborers who worked under contract were upset. Why were they upset? Because those whom the landowner hired later and much later received the same penny that they did for much shorter hours of work. Who would be upset? Anybody care to admit? I'd be there. I'd be like, what is going on? I'd be grumbling. How fair is that? That they question just as we do. But the problem lies with the laborers, that they did not trust the landowner. They wanted a contract. They wanted an agreement. If they had not asked for a contract, they would have received so much more because the landowner said, I'm generous. What's the contract we have with God? Do we have an agreement with God? Maybe we do. Maybe we need to tear it up because God wants to be so much more generous. This is the kind of God we serve and love, a great, generous God who will give more than we expect or could receive. This should give us great pause and challenge us to reset our thinking and approach to God and the things of God, how we serve God and why we serve him, and why he is worth following. Do we need to perform a reset of our relationship with God, with our finances, with our service, with our relationships, with our thinking? One of the things people have been hearing and getting nervous about is the talk about what? The Great Reset. Okay? I put it up there intentionally because I wanted to play around with it. How our social and financial and government systems need to change. It's been stated. If you are following this closely, you cannot help but recognize the blueprint of the New World Order being put in place with a future one world religion, one government under the system of Antichrist. Revelation 17:18. This is the Great Reset. The book of Revelation speaks of this fact in the future reality. The thing that may cause one concern in the future reality of how we may be able to purchase the things we need and desire in the future. Have you ever thought about that? Has it been a concern? I'm just being real. I'm being real with what Revelation says and being real with what we're seeing, what we've experienced. Restrictions are the pregame of our future reality may possibly look like. To buy, to purchase, to eat, to attend in some places, you needed to show papers or a QR code. This is a fact. This is what has been here. This is what still is here in some places. My concern is when the beast system comes fully online, will we trust Christ and follow him? Will I trust Christ and follow him? Will I perform the reset that I need to do? Or will I go along with the world? Satan knows we need things and that we love our possessions, attending our events and taking our trips and vacations, even work. But will we perform the great reset that we need to perform and trust God with our lives? That's where it comes down to. Just like the rich young ruler, we love our possessions. But to whom do those riches belong? Satan is banking on the fact that we will love the riches of the world more than we will and do love God. That's where that battle comes down to. Will we prove him wrong? Why wait till then when we can start today? It is not wrong to have wealth and possessions, but it is wrong if they possess me. And Satan will drive the wedge of possessions and wealth between me and God. He will use that. So I'm prepared for what is to come tomorrow. Now, you know what? I'm not fixing any dates or saying anything like that, but I'm telling you simply that this is what God's Word says. God's Word says this. And from looking at what's happening and what has happened, this seems like this was a pregame. This was a warm-up. So it's got me thinking, what am I ready? This could be 20, 30, 40 years from now. But God says what? He says, be ready. Be looking for the signs. Be watching. So I'm watching. That's all I have to say on that. Is, are we prepared to make the great reset that we need to make in our thinking and in our belief? Do we need to reset our faith? Maybe we've got away from God. Maybe we've got tied up in our wealth and our possessions and the things that we do. That's been the thing that agitates myself. I haven't been able to do some of the things that I've done in the past. But you know what? We've been hanging out and hanging out at home and doing our stuff, and it's been fine. The Apostle Paul said what? That he had learned to be content in what? All circumstances. I haven't been very content in all of this. Anybody say amen with me? But we need to learn to be content in it. Because Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus still is ruling. Jesus is still running this world. And Satan knows it. And he's going to kick and fight to drag down as many as he can and drag down and wedge as many Christians as he can. And he knows that the end is going to come and that he loses. So are we prepared to perform a great reset for ourselves? Amen? Let not possessions and wealth possess you. Give your wealth unto the Lord, and Satan will not be able to cause you to fail in your relationship with God. Amen.